Okay, welcome back everybody to our learning at Shari. It is early Yom Vav Shvat. It is also February the 1st. We are learning Lilui Nishmas Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashala, may her neshama have an aliyah in the merit of our weekly chabura and our learning and our hopefully making ourselves into more fine, better, stronger Ovdei Hashem. So a couple things. The reason I say we're at the bottom of page 45, even though we're really at the top of page 46, is because we did finish the chapter last week. I just wanted to share something with you last week that we didn't get to. What we were talking about at this point in the Sefer is very much the koach of dibur, the koach of speech, and how speech uncovers the soul within. The soul is the true source of all. The soul is the cloak for the chilek alokai mimal. We all learned something unbelievable. The soul covers the godliness. The body covers the soul. Speech is the key to unlock it all. Hi, there's tremendous koach to dibur. So I just have to tell you, before I even get to the article that I want to share with you, which is called Words from the Heart about Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, sometimes I say the hashkacha when preparing is just unbelievable. So at 8:05, I said to one of the boys, we're trying to go through Tehillim. It's taking a while. There's other learning that he has to do. But when we have time, I said, let's do Kapitel Tum. So first he went out with his aunt for the whatever, last minute. So it didn't work then. Then his sister gave me a birthday present. Didn't work then. It's 8:05. I need to leave like 8:15. I'm like, it's the Yetzer. Let's just do the Kapitel Tum. So we sit down to do, I already prepared for tonight's shiur. We sit down to do Kapitel of Tehillim. We open up the Samech Hei. We're going through Tehillim. He reads, I translate, and then we go through each pshat. Each chapter we say together. So what does he read? Lecha du miyatehila. What does it mean? To you, Hashem, silence is praise. This is what he reads. It's 8:05. I already prepared for tonight. This is after a month and a half of learning about Kol HaDibur and how really soft speech comes from the soul and harsh speech comes from the guf. And my son reads, Lecha du miyatehila at Samechei Pasad Beis, chapter 65, verse 2 in Tehillim. To you, silence is praise. Elokim b'tzion. Elokim is in Tzion. U'lecha yushlam neder. And to you, a neder, a vow will be fulfilled. So I said, what do you think it means? I couldn't believe this was the pasuk. I quickly took a notebook. I said, I have to write this down. I would have my purse. My tehillim is in my purse. But I left my purse up. So what do you think it means that silence is praise? So the other twin, who was not learning the tehillim with me, says, I know. I remember this from Zadie's book. My father gave the kids a book called Man Plans and God Laughs. It's like a coffee table book, Yiddish expressions. So the other one pipes up and he says, I remember this from Zadie's book. It means silver is speech, silence is gold. So the other one says, he read this book like last year. So I can't believe what's going on. So I said, you're right. What does that mean? So my son said, I wrote it down. He says, write it down. When you're quiet, nothing could possibly go wrong. When you talk, you could insult someone or you could say Lashon Hara. So this was really, what an introduction tonight. Sure, this was mamish going on 10 minutes before I had to leave the house. You could not have said it better than David HaMelech, Chadumia Tehila, and to quote the Yiddish expression, I didn't have time to go look it up in the coffee table, but to bring you, silver is speech, silence is gold. So I think that really reiterates and sums up beautifully while we have been speaking about. I have to ask you, could you hear me? Number one. And number two, should I stand up? Maybe.
I'm good here because I'm right opposite.
Because when there's. I think I should. Should I stand at the stender? Why? I do that in other classes when there's a lot of people. I know, but there's people who can't see me. Are you okay if you can't see? I'll tell you why it makes me nervous because I have a hearing loss. So if I can see, I don't know what's going on. That's why I'm like nervous. But if you tell me it's okay, then you're okay. Fine. Okay, fine. Okay. So what I wanted to share with you is an article called Words from the Heart, because we've been speaking about so much Dvarim Hayotzi Min Halev, Nichnasim Al Halev. The way you speak is the way it penetrates somebody's heart. It's based on, the reason I even went to look it up, is because the Mechaber quotes it in last chapter. Dvarim Hayotzi Min Halev, Nichnasim Al Halev. The way you speak to someone is the way it penetrates their heart. So I wanted to see, where's that quote from? Right, so I Googled words that come from the heart, enter the heart. So it's based on the Gemara, Maseches Brachos 6b, based on Maseches Brachos 6b. But I came across an article by Rabbi Trugerman. He's the founder, one of the founders of Moshav Meir Modim. You've heard of him? He's a scholar. He's traveled around the world. Him and his wife, they play music, authors, educators, scholar, and residences, Moshav Mavo Modim. Okay? The simple but powerful saying, Dvarim hayotzim min halev nichnasim el halev, resonates especially when applied to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the man when we meet him. Ki lo ish dvarim anochim. We spoke last week. We meet him at the sneh, which is the labat ish. God appears from the heart of fire. Shem is the heart of Knesset Yisrael. And Moshe says at the sneh, I can't talk. Lo ish dvarim anochi. Moshe ends his life by saying, Eila hadvarim asher dibir Moshe. What a transformation. Over 40 years, he goes from the man who does not have words to awaken passion within Knesset Yisrael to the man who leads him to freedom and composes the beautiful book that is Sefer Dvarim. When did he start the book of Dvarim, by the way? I didn't even realize this. Look how Hashem arranges. Wow, I've had this in my Sefer for 3 weeks to say it to you. Tradition tells us that he began the book of Devarim on the first day of the month of Shvat. And according to tradition, we know Moshe Rabbeinu's Yortzeit is Zayin Adar, the 7th of Adar. He transmitted the book of Devarim was a soliloquy. It's a 37-day soliloquy, alluding to the fact that the words come from Moshe's heart is the fact that the numerical value, the gematria 37, is also the gematria of, should be very obvious now, Leiv. Lamed Beis is 32. And then he quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, who I believe is a Lubavitch Rebbe, because I've seen him, it could be wrong, but I saw him quoted on Lubavitch.com in a different article. If you look at the words Halev, and we spoke about Lev last week, for those who are not here, you could access the Shira on Yayu Torah. Halev, you can also get to, by changing around the letters, Hevel, Halev, Lahav. Halev, three letters. Hey, Lamed, Beis. I know I don't have a blackboard. Can also be Hevel, Halev, Lahav, which means the vapor of the heart is inflamed. What does it mean? When the heart is inflamed and inspired, the vapor, the energy the inspired heart produces fulfills words that emanate from the heart, enter the heart. So one's heart needs to be on fire in order to wake up the heart in somebody else, in a different person. The Torah was given in fire, Vahar Boer Ba'esh Ad Lev Hashemayim. The Pasuk says in Devarim that the Torah was given about flame, in flame, until the heart of heaven. When we speak words of Torah, it should reflect passionate intensity, which will enter the heart of those listening and awaken the soul. And isn't it true? The same words can be said in a Dhamma on a Torah. It could be the exact same words. And the same words could be said with excitement and passion, and you get a totally different message. Why? Because of the way the words are said. You know, I'm so happy to be with you. Or, wow, I'm so happy to be with you. You think the person's going to believe the first way that you just said you're so happy with them? Why not? You just said I'm so happy to be with you. Because it's not coming from your heart. There's no lev, there's no flame, there's no labat esh, there's no passion, and therefore, Dvarim hayotzim min halev nichnasim al halev. So I thought it was very, very beautiful that he points out to us that lev, the way Moshe gave the Torah, is alluded to in the amount of days. The numeric value of lev is 32? 32? Halev. Halev. Woo! Thank you so much. Halev, you need the hay.
I know what she said.
I caught myself saying that didn't make sense. You're right. Dvarim hayotzim min halev nichnasim al halev. Very nice. Okay, let's go. Chapter 6, page 46. Second sefer. Gentle words flow from inner clarity. Oh, I need to give one more introduction. That was really not the introduction. That was really the conclusion to previous chapter. This is the introduction, bless you, to this chapter, which is why I said we're really on the bottom of page 45. So as you know, I'm reading the biography now of Moshe Twersky. My aunt is actually the Rabbitson Twersky speaking right now in Toronto. My aunt emailed me at 8:29 saying, I'm waiting for the shiur to start. I said, please email me after. So I want to read an excerpt from here, talking about the power of words. So Rav Nachum, Rav Moshe Twersky, who was one of the Har Nof Kedoshim, Hashem Yukom Dama. Hi. Has anyone read this? Yeah? A show of hands?
I didn't read it yet. I just bought it.
What did you say, Ken?
I just bought it.
Baruch Hashem. It's not describable. The godless is not describable. But talking specifically about Koach HaDibur, Rav Nachum Bauman recalls he and Rav Tversky often reviewed the shiurim of their Rebbe together, Rav Yisrael Alia Weintraub. Rav Nachum Bauman, Rav Tversky, had a Rebbe in Bnei Brak who taught them much of Torah's Hanistar. We would sit side by side, Rav Bauman recalls, with a tape recorder in between us. We had one set of earphones for the two of us. We shared them. He would put one side of the earphones in his ear. I would put the other. We reviewed shiur. We wanted to absorb every single word. We would strain to catch every syllable and nuance. We had a tremendous thirst to hear every word Rebbe would say, even to hear his silent pauses. You know what's so interesting? We began shiur tonight by saying, Ulecha dumia tehila. Let silence is also praise. Rav Tversky would strain to hear his Rebbe, even the silent pauses. I definitely would not have been able to do what we did without Rav Moshe. Tversky, I would like to think, says Rav Bauman, he would not have been able to do it without me. And he shared a memorable illustration of how strong Rav Tversky's thirst was to hear the Rebbe's teachings. One day, Rav Tversky excitedly said to Rav Bauman, the Rebbe, talking about their Rebbe, Rav Weintraub, the Rebbe is going to be speaking in Bnei Brak, Rav Tversky said to his Chavrusa. Let's go hear him together. Where is he going to be speaking? At a yeshiva katana. He was going to be speaking to children, and yet Rav Tversky, a Gaon Batar that's not describable, wanted to go hear his Rebbe. This was the extent of Rav Tversky's thirst to hear the Divrei Torah from his Rebbe. Obviously, in an address to teenagers, a yeshiva katana, the boys are 13 to 17 years of age, one would not expect that Rav Weintraub is delving into profound, secret, deep concepts. He would keep his words simple and straightforward. And nevertheless, Rav Tversky felt just to hear. He felt so strongly it was worth traveling all the way to Bnei Brak to hear his Rebbe speak, even in such a venue and even to such an audience. He felt he could gain from any shiur his Rebbe gave, even if geared to youngsters who are just starting their path of learning. Why? He discerned a depth and profundity. Am I saying right? Profundity? Yeah. Profundity behind the scenes and between the lines of what his Rebbe said that would educate him well. So when the words truly come from the heart, it's not only the content of what is said, of course it is the words, but it's also the way it's said, it's the depth in how it's said, it's being able to read between the lines. He felt any words of Torah that emanated from his Rebbe's mouth would contain untold depth and meaning. So I'm talking about the power of words. When the words emanate from one's neshama, they have the power to change worlds. Did someone say something? Okay. Now let's get to page 46. Please open up to the top, page 46 in the second sefer. Chapter 6, gentle words flow from inner clarity. Now it's interesting, when I sat down to prepare, I was smiling. Before we were talking about speech, we spent 2 years talking about amunah. So what does he go back to now? Amunah. Okay, because it's the foundation of all. We're coming up to Klai Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, and in 2 weeks we're standing by Ma'amad Har Sinai, and we're hearing Anochi, returning to Hashem through an awakening from above. As we mentioned earlier, we must constantly repeat. Could everyone hear me? We must constantly repeat to ourselves, Amunah is the foundation of all mitzvos, as it says, Tzadik be'amunah so yechya, which is a pasuk that he's already quoted repeatedly. Amunah is the foundation of all, which is why it's the first of the Aseres HaDibros. Rav Sajagon teaches how all the mitzvos emanate from the Aseres HaDibros. Everything emanates from those 10, and everything emanates from that one. It is fascinating food for thought to consider that if Amunah is the foundation of all, then in this week's Parsha, the first national mitzvah is given, and it's not Amunah. It's something that seems mundane, but we make it tremendously holy. The first national mitzvah is time. It's not Amunah. It's not fast on Yom Kippur, blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, eat Pesach, eat matzah and maror with your carbon Pesach. You should know that. You should be aware of time. But the foundation of all is our Amunah and time. We explained at length, Amunah is primarily not in the mind. Amunah has to be in the heart. And we said that a person who has Amunah of the mind, what happens if you have Amunah in the mind and things don't make sense? I'm asking you a question. What happens if you have Amunah on the level of your mind and things don't make sense, but you don't have love and belief and faith of God in here? Doesn't make sense?
So then it's over.
Well said. Nice. My daughter and I spent Sunday at the 9/11 Memorial Museum, Ground Zero. Has anyone been? By show of hands, who's been? Okay, if you have not gone, Zachar Sashar Salah Malik, we're coming up to Pasha Zachar. It is highly worthy that you take the time to go is extremely impactful and beyond moving and very, very well done. But what happens if things don't make sense and your moon is up here and it's not in here? There's no lave. So thank you very much. Now it's all over. I'm leaving. This doesn't add up. And we're done here. Hani Malchus' daughter. And that's why Emunah is not primarily in the mind. Even though we're intelligent people and we're intellectual people and we want to feel stimulated and we want to feel intelligent and you want to feel challenged on the level of the mind, but Emunah Pshuta. I was just reading at 8 o'clock before I started the film with my son. Rav Soloveitchik speaks once again about the Emunah of the child. Something in this week's parsha, but I can't remember how he relates it. I mean, to be like a child, you need to have Emunah, you need to have love in here. And it's not rational, you know, it's such an example. One of the boys just said to me something about why does a parent love their child? So I said, it was hard to say. I said, you're wonderful, you're sweet, you make us happy, you're kind, we teach you mitzvahs. So he says, but it's so hard, the children don't always listen. He went through a whole thing of why it would be hard. Sure, so if you're rational, then love doesn't always make sense. But if it's at the level of the heart, never mind how you feel for a human being, that's how you should feel, for the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a love that's not severed, even when it becomes difficult at certain times. Hani Malchus' daughter relates, Rachel. Me and my mother were very, very close. It's a gift from Hashem. I had such a desire to be with my mother. This is how the Rambam, by the way, the Havdil, speaks about love for Hashem. The Rambam says a person should be sick with love for Hashem. Almost he describes like a love affair between two people. Always thinking when you're eating, when you're walking, when you're going, always be with Hashem. My mother was the chizuk of my life. Whenever I had issues, she would say, don't worry, Hashem is taking care of you. We're in the best hands. Everything will work out. She could always see through a temporary difficult period. You're going through a hard time, she would say to me. Of course, she's speaking to all of us, because this is what you have to go through for tikkun hanefesh, in order for your soul to be misakein, to be repaired. You have to go through this. And then, listen to this next line. My mother would always say, she would quote a pasuk from Tehillim, Ha'amanti ki adaber. What does it mean, Ha'amanti ki adaber? Come in. Ha'amanti, I have emunah, ki adaber, because I spoke. What did Henny mean by this? Listen to this. I'm going to eventually believe what I'm saying. I'm striving to be what I'm saying. Why is that so fundamental and so crucial? Because it's a lifelong struggle to be the person we want to be. Ha'amanti ki adaber. Quote, I'm going to be eventually, believe what I'm saying. I'm striving to be what I'm saying. If a person thinks he reaches the zenith and it's over, it's never over. She speaks and knows she's going to believe eventually what she's saying. We have to speak to ourselves. We have to be mechazik ourselves, even though sometimes it doesn't add up and it doesn't make sense. When I was standing by the reflective pools with my daughter, I was saying different kapitlach of Tehillim. Manti ki adaber. I know I'm going to speak it and I'm going to believe it. Even Kol Chadibur applies to us. Speak to your own heart. My mother always strived to move forward spiritually. She was always striving spiritually. She would say, Avoda shel kol hachayim. To move forward in Ruchnius is a task of our whole life. That's one of the things she taught me. Manti ki adaber. That even if a person hits a certain time in life when they don't necessarily feel, it doesn't add up, and it doesn't make sense, and it seems that 2 + 2 = 5, and I don't understand what's going on here. Amanti ki adaber, keep speaking the Torah, keep speaking the Chesed, keep speaking on the right path. You're going to believe what you're saying. Emunah, any questions or comments? Okay. Page 46, second paragraph. Emunah in the heart is a grounded awareness of the existence of Hashem. It's not merely an emotional reaction or a feeling of excitement. Rather, it's so interesting. It's not that you're excited in the moment. It's not an emotional reaction. I'm reading about Rav Moshe Twersky now. Hashem yikom damo. And even his smiles were calculated. When he smiled was calculated. He once thought, I just read it last night, he was going to be in a certain picture. And his wife said to him, you don't smile enough. So when they take the picture, please smile. So he made a point of smiling for the picture. They didn't take the picture. So after, he said to Tommy, I wasted a smile. Unbelievable. Every action, every movement, every word is calculated. Rabbi Biederman brings down that during these months of shovvim, weeks. Shmos ve'erbo b'shal, chisum, mishpatim, truma, tetzava, v'tshovvim, tat. You should think one, choose 1 hour a day, and think before you speak. You know, some people do the Shmer Salashon, choose 1 hour a day, don't say Lashon Hara, that's also very, very praiseworthy. But he says, choose 1 hour a day, just think before you talk. Think before you talk. It shouldn't be an emotional reaction, it shouldn't be a feeling of excitement. It should be calculated, it should be well thought out. Amunah in the heart is grounded awareness. One of Rav Twersky's Talmidim says, for Rav Twersky, it was so clear, it was so real, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samin. Hashem was always before him. Just as one is intimately aware of his hand and foot, so too one must be aware of the existence of Hashem. That's how real it has to be to us. The soul possesses this awareness because it is a chelek Elokai Mimal, very famous pasuk from Iyov. The soul is a chelek of God from above. Being a portion of the divine, it yearns for and seeks its partner. Who's the partner of the soul? Lo tov heyos adam levado lahavdil. It's not good for a person to be alone. It's not good for the soul to be alone. So what does the soul seek out? Or rather, who does the soul seek out? Its source. And who's the source? Hashem. And it wants its partner, Hashem. As the pasuk says, Hashem is my portion, says my soul. Hashem chalki. Hashem is my portion, says the soul. Okay, I'm going to quote more from this book. Is everyone okay with that? Any questions or comments? Okay, they're going to think I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to myself, am I?
Yeah.
Even if I would be, it would be okay. I need to tell myself. Okay. It's interesting. So my son said, why do you love me? Child says to the parent, why do you love me? So listen to this. When we educate children, said Henny, we're not supposed to say, or by the way, this is not only for children, this is anyone who you compliment, really. You shouldn't say, you're so smart, you're so pretty, you're so good, you're so sensitive. Rather, you should say,
Hashem make you.
What?
Hashem make you.
Oh, did you say Hashem?
Yes.
Hashem made you so smart, beautiful. Hashem made you so pretty. Hashem made you good. Hashem made you so quick. Hashem made you so helpful. It's beautiful. It's a world of a difference. You're so smart. Kosh Baruch Hu gave you such beautiful kochos. Because we don't want to teach children to take credit for themselves. We're talking about the Mechaber just said that the soul wants to go back to Hashem. Because if the soul is from Hashem, it wants to find its shittuf. It wants to find its partnership. Who am I in partnership with, says the soul? Not in partnership with this externality and with this gashmias. I'm a piece of Hashem. So you should compliment and say, Hashem made you so smart. Hashem made you so pretty. When she would come home from PTA, Henny, and if the teachers didn't give such a good report, she would always make up the report. She would tell the child, you're so smart, you're doing so well, you worked so hard on the test. Contrary to what the teacher said, she would try and elevate the child's standing. By elevating the child's standing, we elevate the self-confidence of the child. We give them the tools to another person to come close to Ribbono Shel Olam. From a very tiny age, the child has to know Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Everything is a manifestation of Hashem's will. Absolutely everything. So whoever the child is, that's how the child is. And we should compliment them, knowing, letting them know it's from Hashem, acknowledging the source. Therefore, our main work in Amuna is the clear recognition that there is a Creator who is bound with our souls and is the source of our holiness. How do we gain this awareness? Gemara Maseches Kedushin, there's a principle. It is the way of the male, to seek out the female. It is not the way of the female to seek out the male. The female is more, what's the word, introverted? Introverted, yeah. Yeah, introspective, tsanua, quiet, turning inward. The male seeks out the female. It's true in the animal kingdom, and it's true, it should be true in the human kingdom as well. I don't know if in modern times, people don't always stick to the rules. We change the frame of reference, but this is how it's supposed to be. The male should seek out the female. It is known that the Jewish nation is compared to a woman. We're coming up to Matan Torah. Kafa leim har kigigis. Matan Torah in Parshas Yisro was a chuppah. What was the chuppah, the marriage canopy, the mountain? What was the shtar, the ksuba, the Torah? Who was the chasen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and who was the kala? Knesset Yisrael. The Jewish nation is compared to the woman. Hashem is compared to the man. We got married to Hashem at Har Sinai. Such as when he is called a man of war. When is he called a man of war? We say it every day. It's next week's parasha, Bashach. Hashem ish mechama. Hashem is a man of war. It's in Az Yashir. So, Az Yashir Moshe Fnei Yisrael Asashiu Azos Hashem Vayamru Lemor. Then Klal Yisrael said, it's actually in the future tense, sages say from here, Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, then we will sing to Hashem. We also say, Az Yamalei Tzchok Pinu, then our mouths will be full of laughter. So there's an allusion in both of these Azes to the end of day. Az Yashir Moshe Vnei Yisrael, Az Yamalei Tzchok Pinu. So Rabbi Elimelech Biderman brings down, what's the godless of Az then? Back to Gematrias, Aleph is 1, Zion is 7, 1 plus 7 makes 8. Klal Yisrael exists in a realm that is beyond nature. We exist in a realm that is beyond Teva, and when we appreciate that we exist beyond the realm of Teva, then we can sing to Hashem, because the rules of nature do not apply to us. Someone just told me today, she was davening for many years for a certain couple who were unable to have children, close to 10 years, and she just found out that Be'ezras Hashem, B'Sha'a Tova, I don't know who it is, I have no idea, that they are expecting B'Sha'a Tova. So we all know this to be true, that sometimes the doctor says it can be, it won't be, it's not possible. Az Yashir, we're going to show them, because then we're going to sing. Not in a bad way, we're going to show them, but we never give up on the Az. The nations of the world look at us and they taunt us. You're sitting on the floor 1900 something years after the Churban. You think the Messiah is ever going to come to redeem you. You're the most despised, downtrodden, hated, reviled, mocked people. I just saw someone showed me. There are apparently, I don't follow it so much, but there are now people from 7 countries, I really don't know the intricate details, who can't come into the United States for a certain amount of days, whatever. There are 16 countries that don't allow in somebody who holds an Israeli passport. Why isn't anyone saving? Because there's a double standard. Because nobody cares about the Jew. But if they can't come in from 7 countries, the whole world is screaming Chai V'Kayim. By the way, I'm not giving political commentary. I'm stating a fact. There are 16 countries that you can't go to if you have an Israeli passport. But yet, we never give up. Hashem ish mechama. Because to be alone with God is to be alone with the majority of one, and that's a capital O. And He fights our battles. And if we have the Amunah on the level of our heart, then no matter what happens, we will never give up. And Az Yamalei Tzchok Pinu, then in the end of days, when we realize we're Lamala Min HaTeva, our mouth will be filled with laughter. Did you want to say something? You can't want to say something. No. That being the case, it is the way of Hashem to seek out the Jewish people. Remember the Mechaber just said that the man seeks out the woman and not vice versa. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is the male in the relationship, so to speak, and Klal Yisrael is the woman, Hashem seeks out the Jewish people, not the other way around. It's not our way to seek out Hashem. It's Hashem's way, so to speak, the way of the male, to seek out us. And that's really what happened. Why did Hashem tell... Is everyone with me? You have questions or comments? Okay. Why did Hashem tell Moshe by the snare? I'm going to tell you. Per Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, in terms of Hashem seeks out us out. We're drowning in Shibud Mitzrayim, pun is intended. We were literally drowning and we were figuratively drowning, and it seems like we're almost lost. We're on the 49th level of impurity. These parshiyos are so tremendous. Hashem came and sought us out. Even when we were crying, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel through Chav Hei, doesn't say we were crying to Hashem. It was a general groaning. It was a general cry. We didn't even know to whom to direct our prayers anymore. It was such a deep time of Hester Panim. We didn't know where to direct our prayers. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael, what does it say? Min ha'avoda. We groan because the slave labor is so hard for us. Vayizaku, stop sign. What is it? Smachta? What's the stop sign called? Yeah? We called out. Generally, we called out. So why does Hashem seek us out? We're a lost people. Give up. Start from someone else. And today, perhaps, Knesset Yisrael is in a very bad state. Assimilation is very bad. Infighting, machlokas. the right says this, the left says this, this one says that, this one says that. But Hashem seeks us out, may I promise to the Avos, and He is the husband, so to speak, in the relationship, and He always seeks us out. And what did He say to Moshe at the snare? I will be with you, and this is the sign that I have sent you. Behotzi acha es ha'am Mitzrayim. Who remembers the rest of the pasuk? Behotzi acha es ha'am Mitzrayim. What was the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Ta'avdun es alokim al ha'har hazam. The whole goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to go get the Torah. Hashem wants to marry us. Will you marry me? Will you be intimate with me? Will you keep the mitzvos? Do you want to accept the ksuba? Can I put on the ring and say, Harea mikudashasli? You're holy to me. V'yisem li segula. You'll be my holy treasured people. B'ni b'chori Yisrael. You're it. He seeks us out. No matter how impure we are, He always waits for us to come back and serve Him on that mountain. What a beautiful message of Rosh Chodesh. Moshe started his address to the people on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. What a beautiful message of Rosh Chodesh. No matter how obscure the moon is, how dark it is, how impossible it is to see it, it's always going to come back and reflect light again. And that's Klai, so we can always come back and reflect the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again. So Hashem never gives up. He's always waiting to seek us out. So what does that mean? We should never give up. Sometimes it becomes, I don't want to say easy, but sometimes the Yetzer Hara becomes very strong. Oh, you know, I don't know the page because I wasn't planning to say this. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara becomes very, very strong. But Hashem never gives up. He always seeks us out. I'm just going to see if I can find. They found a note of Tours. Is someone saying something that I don't hear?
No.
They found a note that he wrote to himself shortly before his Patira. Okay, I found something else. He wrote a letter to a Talmud. One of the last letters he wrote of his life. It was in the last elo of his life. He was murdered al Kiddush Hashem in Cheshvan. And he wrote, the Talmud wrote him that he's almost 40 and he's still striving, he's reaching the age of Bina, he feels distant from Hashem, etc. So Rabbi Tversky wrote back, when I read the paragraph about your age, the Talmud says I'm turning 40, and how you're searching and seeking for the correct and effective approach to true Torah attainment, I literally cried. Rabbi Tversky wrote this, I literally cried. Because I am roughly 2 decades older than you, I'm quoting this, and my minuscule self-worth and the nothingness of my knowledge feel to me as if a slap on my face, and I am deeply perturbed. I would never say such a thing if I wasn't. Mamish quoting from this book, page 299. Oh, it's the footnote. A very similar notion was found on the desk of his study after his tragic patira. It was dated the last birthday of his life, 15th Elul 5774. He wrote words of encouragement to himself. Talking about someone who was baki in revealed Torah, in hidden parts of Torah, who was a Gaon, a Talmud Chacham, a person who lived with Hashem all the time. You know what he wrote to himself? Nevertheless, Chalila v'chalila, to slacken. I should never say, what gain is there in our efforts? For we are lost. Our hope is lost. You should never say, what gain is there? We are lost. Our hope is lost. Because that is the song of the Yetzer Hara. Come, let us renew the old resolutions, for they are good. He was being mechazik himself. But from time to time, the Yetzer Hara comes along, and the Yetzer Hara says, don't bother, it's not worth it. What are you working so hard? Fine, just give up. This is how you're going to be. But Hashem seeks us out, no matter what level of impurity we are at. So shouldn't we seek ourselves out? Hashem comes and He seeks us out. And He says to Moshe about these people who are on the 49th level of impurity. The angels say, by Kriyas Yamsuf, next week's parashah, Elu avdei avodah zarah ve'elu avdei avodah zarah. The Mitzrim worship idols and the Jews worship idols. So what are you saving them for? But that's not the point. Ta'avdun esa alokim alahar, is that we always have the capacity to climb up and worship God on this mountain. Of course, we cannot deny each Jew must seek out Hashem and find Him. We just had a quote from Tversky. Every person is responsible for finding Hashem. And every person is responsible for battling the Yetzer Hara. I saw a great line brought down by Rabbi Biderman. When the Yetzer Hara comes, tell him, sorry, you have the wrong address. The person you're looking for doesn't live here anymore. They moved. If you change yourself, you're a new person. So just yesterday, I said to myself, I said, he was there, the Yetzer Hara. I said, tell him, you moved. You have the wrong address. I'm not here anymore. I don't know if it always works, but you could try. And you will seek Hashem, your God, from there. Oh, it's a pasuk from Devarim, yes. And you will find him, Bihimatzo, Kisidjoshenu b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshcha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you look for him and you search for him, keep in mind, b'chol avavcha, it has to be in the level of your heart. And b'chol nafshcha, it's the soul that desires the Ribbono Sha'olam, you will find him. The source of the search must be an awakening from above. Yes. You should tell him to come back later?
Yeah, I'll come back later. And keep on calling, and then he won't come back.
It's an interesting tactic. Instead of telling him go away completely, tell him to come back?
Yeah, say come back. Just not
now. How will that help you?
Because you'll keep stalling him. Eventually, he'll leave you alone.
Is that what?
You keep stalling him. Eventually, he'll get annoyed.
First of all, he's never going to go away.
The
Gemara says...
That area, and
that... That Nakuda?
I think I learned that.
It's interesting. Push him off. Tell him it's not a good time. Please come back.
Because you have to attack him the way he attacks you. So he attacks very subtly, very, you know, from around the corner when you don't expect it. So attack him the same way. So you use the same strategy.
I've heard something similar. Like, I remember in high school, we had a rabbi who had, like, explained there was a Malchuba who had a taiba to have a hammer. He used to tell his taiba, okay, we'll do it later. And the moment would pass and he wouldn't have that type anymore. So there's
okay.
Behind, you know,
okay.
The you know, you're not talking to your friend anymore. You don't want to say lashon hara. It's not okay, fine, you got over that.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Like, just don't eat the chocolate now. Let's just wait. And then walk into the kitchen, do something else, and then you don't want it anymore. Okay?
Right.
Very nice. Listen, whichever way works for you, use it. No, I'm being serious. If tell him he has the wrong address, tell him to come back. You know it's not a good time. Whichever way works for you, that's what you should certainly use. However, the source of the search must be an awakening from above. I saw something brought down beautiful, a Hasidish Var, a rabbi. It was cold, it was dark, it was the winter, Europe, it's hard enough to get, you know, up now, it was hard to get up. And he woke up very early, and right away the Yetzer Hara was already there. Don't get up, it's so cold, stay in bed, you could use another hour of sleep under the blanket. It's so early, don't wake up yet. So the rabbi said back to him, if it's so early, why are you already here hard at work? You shouldn't be here if it's so early. Not time. So the Mechaber says, the source of the search for Hashem, must be an awakening from above. Now,
what does that mean? First it says, it tells you, it really should seek and search, and then it says, however, the source of the search must be an awakening from above.
Okay, so it's interesting you're asking that question because I would expect the word above to be with a capital A in that sentence.
Right.
And if the word from above is with a capital A, then it makes a lot of sense.
And he goes on, the next paragraph, he goes on to explain what it means.
That's why the very next sentence says, I'm going to tell you, though, what I brought on that. That's why I picked on my chumash. I'm about to tell you what I brought on that sentence. I don't know if it's a typo, because the very next line says the awakening from above comes from the heavenly voice. Heavenly is capital H. Okay, I'm on page 47, ladies, about halfway through. The second to last paragraph ends with the sentence, the source of the search, we're talking about searching for Hashem, has to be an awakening from above. So what does that mean? If above has a capital A, it makes a lot of sense. You need to daven to Hashem to help you. I saw something tremendous brought down in the Henny Machlis book. I repeated it only in one class this week so far. Usually I would say something in multiple classes if it's relevant. Multiple parsha classes, I only told it over one time. But it's shayach to tell it over now. One of the most powerful things to me in the Henny Machlis book, and I've been quoting this book for a week, a month and a half at least, but to me personally, one of the most powerful things for my own avodas Hashem is, she says something unbelievable about Korach. I'm talking about now, the source of the search must be an awakening from above. What does that mean? God seeking us out, no matter how low of a level you are, Hashem's looking for you. B'ni b'chol Yisrael, where are you, Knesset Yisrael? I want you. Misbosesis b'damayich v'amarti b'damayichai b'damayichai. The Medrash says Hashem saw us rolling in the blood of Mila and Karban Pesach, and He wants us, even though we're Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and even though we're on the 49th level of impurity, and even though we forgot how to daven, we have a general crying out, not even directed, Hashem still wants us. We have to want Him. We have to allow the soul to find Him. That, what does it mean? It has to be an awakening from above. So Hani Malchus said one of the things that impacted me very, very profoundly about Korach. Korach had an ayin ra'a, a ruach gevoha, and a nefesh rechava. He doesn't have the best midos. He has a negative eye, a haughty spirit, and a broad soul. He's not such a nice guy. You know what she says about Korach? He wasn't punished for being Korach. He was punished for not asking Hashem to help him. That one ha'ara, for me, in my own personal love of Hashem, is, I think, the most powerful thing I read in the entire book. He wasn't punished, for me, for being Korach. That's how Hashem created him. Hashem gave us all different midos. We all have inborn character traits. Some are more beneficial than others. But how do we channel them? How do we use them? And when we have negativity within ourselves, do we say, Hashem, this is how I am, but my neshama tahora is pure, please help me change. And she said, Korach did not daven for help. And that's why he was punished. Not for being Korach, but for not asking Hashem. So what does it mean? The source of the search must be an awakening from above. If we make that above, have a capital A, it makes a lot of sense. We have to ask Hashem to wake us up. We have to ask Hashem to help us. We have to ask Hashem to return us to Torah. I want to want, and I can't do it without Siyata Deshmaya. It's clear? Yeah. Furthermore, one more nakuda. Okay. Another answer is to what does this mean? An awakening from above. It made me think of which one of the Avos and why? Does anybody know? What I'm thinking of and why? Above?
Yaakov.
Why?
Just the ladder going up and down.
Yaakov. Very nice.
Yaakov's.
What?
Yaakov's ladder.
Okay. So I didn't think of that. Sulam Yaakov, v'hinei malach elokim olim v'yardim bo. The malachim are going up and going down, and Hashem is standing above to await to be misorah Yaakov. Very nice. I didn't think of that. Very nice. Anything else? When? Very nice. So that's what I think. But you're both of you ladies, very, very nice. I didn't think of it. It's very nice that Yaakov also has this vision, and the malachim are going up and going down. They represent the avoda of life. Sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down, but Hashem is always standing there. What I thought of is exactly what you just said, and that is by the Bris Bein Habsarim. It's Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Gilna, and the Pasuk says, not Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Hey, I'm sorry. Tesvav Hey. Hashem took him outside and he said, look at the heavens and count the stars. If you can count the stars, that's how your offspring will be. Vayetze also Hachutza. He took him outside and he said, look at the heavens. So what does Rashi say there? Chai, what does Rashi say there? No, because you said Avram, you're right. But what is Rashi talking about? An awakening from above? What? Okay, so Rashi gives three interpretations. According to the Pshat, he took him out of his tent and he said, look at the stars. That's how many your children will be. Look at the stars. According to the Medrash, he took him out of his astrology. You see in the Mazalos, you see under your luck or your astrology, you can't have a child. Avram and Sarai cannot have children. Avraham and Sarah can have children. He changed his mazal. And the third thing, he took him out of this world and he raised him above the stars. Milamata, milamala, lamata. Look down, Avram Avinu, from above. You are literally above the stars. That's Knesset Yisrael. Kol Yezarach, what a beautiful way to end the class. We said Oz is the equivalent of eight. Rabbi Biderman brings us down. Oz Yashir Moshe Vnei Sosashir Azos. Oz Yamale Yishchot Pinu. Why? Because we have this call from the time of Avram Avinu that the source of the search is an awakening from above. Kosh Baruch Hu takes us out of this world. The mundanities, that's a word, yeah? The mundanities? It's not? Sounds a good one, no?
Okay. We'll go with it.
It sounds very like a real word. Hashem takes us, but if it's not, No?
There is a
we'll word. Think of what it is. Yeah. There is one that reflects, that expresses that.
Say it again.
There is a word that expresses what you want to say. It's just not.
But it's not mundane. So Hashem takes us out of the difficulties of this world, the mundane aspects of this world, the teva of this world. The
Yitzhak also. There's a word. It is a word.
It's a word. Hey! I never know the pronunciations. I say the word wrong. So it's mamash a word.
Say that.
Chas de Hashem. I'm very happy. I'm always asking for help with pronunciation and what does it mean? Ah, Baruch Hashem. Okay? He takes us out of the mundanities of this world. I didn't think I made it up when I said it, but I'm never. I told you what my friend says when I say the word wrong, she just tell them that's how you say it in Canada. So that's where I grew up. He takes us out of the mundanities of the world, of the strivings of this world, and he awakens us from above. He puts in our heart the desire to seek him out. No matter how far we have fallen, we always have the ability to go back up. Because Hashem waits for us, and he longs for us, and he wants us. And it has to be a moon in their heart. It has to be an moon of pshuta. That, do you want to marry me? Akash Baruch Hu says, coming up to Mama Rasina. And we have to answer, Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma. We want the whole package deal. And like that, Bezer Hashem, we awaken the moon in ourselves and in the next generation. Until Az Yimali Schot Pinu Shoneinu Rina and Shabi, Bezer Hashem, a million in our days. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Amen. Okay, thank you, ladies.
Shabbat, you're terrific.